KD2BNG. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you, buddy? Well, how's it going? I'm getting moldy.
You said you're getting moldy?
Not molding. I'm getting moldy from all the rain and the moisture and the humidity.
Is that? This is, you know, not good for my asthma and COPD and whatever other lung issues I got. Yeah, I've had this cough for a couple of days. It'll dry out.
People saying, this too shall pass.
It warmed up in the last day or two, but yeah, it's, still gonna be, I guess, cold and wet. Yeah, this doesn't do me any good for my throat and my lungs. And I'm mostly out of medicines I could have taken for it, but, you know, it'll get better.
4 miles south of Highway 11, and I was just completely surprised last night when I looked at my weather station, and it said it was 59 degrees at my house. That's just a little above normal.
Normal for this time of year. What is it, around December, what, around the 10th already? The 9th or 10th? That's not that much above normal.
I believe generally this time of year we're in the, we're doing good to get into the 50s. And I mean the low 50s. And, remember this year, I believe it was February 1st or 2nd, we had a snow.
Since I've seen it snow, this might have been some years ago, was maybe around the last day in October. So, you've had snow earlier.
Well, at least it's not like Jackson, Wyoming. They just got 3 feet the other night, and I looked it up, and on average, Jackson, Wyoming gets 458 inches of snow a year. That's just under 40 feet of snow. Nice place to visit, but I sure wouldn't want to live there.
Not like 40 feet all at once. that would be inconvenient. If that ever did happen, could you imagine getting 10 or 20 or 40 feet all at the same time? It varies the entire town. Places upstate New York, you'll get maybe 6 or 8 or maybe 10 feet of snow. In fact, where was it recently? They were digging out. Yeah, it might have been New York. They had that kind of snowfall.
Hey, well, let me tell you a little quick story. You'll get a kick out of this. I went to Jackson, Wyoming in September. Went out there so at that time of year so that I could beat all the tourists in between seasons, between the summer crowds and the kids and the wintertime and the snow skiers. Well, I got out there, first time out there, and you know those little markers, little round markers on the side of the interstate?
Interstate, not like the lane markers. Sometimes around the guardrail, little yellow markers, little reflective markers.
Yeah, yeah. We used to have them on the little posts, and the little posts were up at about 4 feet. Well, out there, they're at 12 feet up in the air. And I asked somebody while I was out there, why do y'all put those markers up so high? Is that for truck drivers? Why do you put them up so high? They said, you're not from around here, are you, son? I said, well, no. He says, during the wintertime, we don't see but about 4 foot of that little marker sticking up out of the snow.
I'm trying to say, if you're on the road and you don't see them at all, it means the road is closed. If you've got more than 10 or 12 foot of snow.
Just about how they gauge it, too. If you can't see the markers, don't go.
You'd have to... I wouldn't want to shovel all that or even drive a snowplow through that. Yeah, so the lane markers are 8 or 10 feet in the air. If you don't see the lane markers, the road's closed. Because even the snow plow is not going through that.
And they got these snow machines up there, or snow... They're not exactly like we have here along the east of the Mississippi. They're these dump trucks, but they've got these huge things on the front. It looks like a little cone that comes off the top of, about midway off of it. And it's got this big tube that exits over to the side. And these things, it's like a huge snow... It's a 10-wheeled snowblower. I mean, the thing is massively big. And they cut through there with a blade and knock it down and blow it off the side of the road. I would definitely not want to be within 100 yards of that thing when it came through.
It is. It's a 10-foot-wide cone or a truncated cone or a 10-foot-wide truncated pyramid, which basically just scoops up the snow and, you know, blows it, I guess, off to one side. So you clear the entire road all at once to a depth of maybe a couple of feet. So if there's less than 5 or 6 or 8, 7 feet on the road, we can clear it.
That's the size of it. They got those things during the summer, spring and summer and fall. They've got those things parked at the ready and all serviced up and ready to go for the winter. Man, there's something else. So anyhow, I got in my little trip of Snake River cutthroat trout fishing, and I got out of there before the snows hit.
I like fishing. You're not one of those that takes that the little shed with no floor and take it out on the ice and sit in the shed and then just cut a hole in the ice and fish through the ice. That's a little bit too extreme.
Think of the name of that movie. It had, it was Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, and I think it was Ann Margaret. Grumpy Old Men. Yeah, you remember Grumpy Old Men, that movie? And Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon would go out to their ice shacks, and they'd fuss at each other about who was catching what fish through the ice hole. That was funny.
Not that old, or is it? Because I think everyone you mentioned is probably since passed on. I can find out when that was.
I think Ann Margaret is still alive, isn't she? Why don't you look that up?
I can do this with one hand. No. Let me cross-reference. Let me type in the movie first, then I'll get individual actors. Three, Jack Lemmon, Walter Matthau, and Margaret. If Ann Margaret still lives, she'd be about 90 by now. Oh, wait, here's her, her photo in the list of cast members. Let's see. Could she, well, does it say? Click on this. Okay, she's Swedish. Born April 28, 41. So that would make her certainly in her 80s. Okay. Yeah, she's still alive, as far as we know.
Yeah, I bet she still looks good, too. Well, listen, I enjoyed talking to you. I got to jump out here and pump some fuel. I'm at Sam's in Spartanburg, so... Listen, you take it easy. I just got up to the pump in the line, so... How about that? $2.72 a gallon. Now, that's a little bit of relief, anyhow. I'll catch you later, big guy. Enjoyed it. K4 VWA, clear up your final.
KDWA, KD2BNG. All right, 73s, you take care. We'll talk to you later. Up, 2BNG. I know that call sign. How's it going?
It's going fairly well. Is this Steve?
KD2BNG.
Okay. There was another ham operator I used to talk to. He moved to South Dakota, and you sound a lot like him. I didn't know if that was him or not, but I believe his call sign was KD4, what was it? KD4 something, I can't remember now. I guess what happened when you get old. Yeah. But I do remember talking to him, and you sound a lot like him.
Like a lot of people. Probably look like a lot of people. I mean, genetically, even with billions of gene combinations, I don't think there's, you know, how many physical types can there really be? Everyone's got their double, I'm sure.
It was KB0, KBJ. I finally remembered it.
No, I never heard that call sign around here, as far as I remember.
Spoke to you because I thought it may have been him, because his brother, I think, still lives here in Greenville. But he moved to South Dakota and got married, and he used to be in the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Club some years back before he left. And but I was just listening to the conversation there and trying to get over the flu bug that I've got. Me and my wife both came down with it, and it's no fun at all.
Yeah, be careful of that. I had, it wasn't that long ago, it might have been the beginning of like 2018 or so, I had, it would have been around this time too, I had one flu that I ended up in the ER about. You know, if you've got asthma, COPD, other aggravating conditions, you want to watch out for flu, or even if you get, you know, even if you're old like us. Yeah, I called up, you know, I ended up calling up EMS. I haven't been able to get out of bed for like 3 days, and I've had this asthma attack that's gone on for 2 days. Oh, you have flu. Oh, is that it? And then a year later, the same thing happened again. So, I should get a flu shot, shouldn't I? Now would be about the time.
Well, both have took her flu shot and COVID shots, and when I was in the service, I think I got shot for everything that's going and coming.
So that from personal experience, but after boot camp or basic training, you probably start to feel and even maybe look like a pincushion. Well, I don't know. I guess it's the usual round of inoculations plus, you know, wherever it is you're going to get posted might be another round of inoculations. Yeah, you're going to our base in, somewhere in some Central African country, so we got to give you these 20 other inoculations.
I was on, I was in the Air Force, and I had a thing called mobility. I had to take my duffel bag and some of my clothes to the base, and they issued me a helmet and a canteen and a little M1 carbine, and they packed it all away in a room, and they said if they ever, the bottom fell out of the negotiations between the Russians and the United States, that we would be activated. And I was a jet engine mechanic, and I said, shoot, I'm nothing about fighting wars, I just work on airplanes. But they never did call me, and that was, I was happy about that.
This Air Force, you said, and when and where would this would have been? Because M1 carbine sounds like a weapon of, some earlier generation of soldiers.
Yeah, well, I went in 1959, and I got out in 1963. If that lets you know anything, I was in there during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
So in a sense, you got out at the right time. You didn't end up in the Southeast Asian meat grinder. And although that period, you know, at that period in history, you were, some pretty tense things were going on as well. You know, the Cuban Missile Crisis, I'm sure that two out of three people in the Army or even in civilian life at the time, we're not going to make it out of this.
Or PFI for ID. yeah, we knew a little bit more than the civilians knew at that time, because they called us all in a hangar on the base and told us a little bit of things that they didn't tell over the news media. But I don't know why they did that, because the guys would go off the base and run their mouth. But anyway, it went along okay, and Khrushchev backed off, and we didn't go into World War III.
back down, sort of. But if you'll recall the other part of that, the United States got rid of some intermediate range missiles put somewhere in Turkey, which they were going to get rid of anyway. But so all, strategically overall, it was a push. Well, actually, no, it was a public relations embarrassment for Khrushchev. I don't think he lasted very long after that. Yeah, the story is he vacationed one day and found out, I guess he'd been fired or, you know, put out of a job or however these things sort of work in the Soviet Union. Yeah, you've sort of been forced out. And supposedly he put down his briefcase that he was carrying with him and said, well, I guess I don't need this anymore.
I guess so. I know all our airplanes left with the real thing on them, too. I watched them load some of it while we was working on some of the planes, and we didn't even know where they went. Half of them went up to Maine, and the other half went down into Florida. So I think it was getting ready to really... things were going to get hot and heavy quick, but thank goodness we didn't have to do that. But I'm going to have to get off of here. My throat's giving me a fit again, and enjoyed talking with you. And maybe I'll talk to you again sometime. Maybe my voice will be a little bit better than it is right now. So KG4PFI, and I'll be clear after yours.
Oh, yeah, okay, Don. Yeah, I know who you are. Yeah, KG4PFI. You probably, sold me this radio that I'm on. Probably put a bunch of other things. You were down over, not Anderson, but maybe Piedmont or somewhere. I forget where. Yeah, I came over there with, remember KI4MLN? Yeah, he passed, I think sometime, maybe in the past year or two. So, all right, yeah, nice to hear you on the air again.
Yeah, I remember you now, I really do. I'm in Piedmont, that's correct. And I'm going to get off of here. I'm getting to where my voice don't want to hold up. It's a KG4PFI, my name's Don, and hope to talk to you again sometime.
Always used to hear you on the net. Lately, not all that much. But, all right, yeah, Don, anytime. It's always good talking to you. KG4PFI, KD2BNG, 73s, I'll be clear.